Welcome to week two of Soul Revolution. You know, one of the most important questions that people ask is, how do I hear from God? What does God want to say to me? And how can I hear from God? Here's my question. If God had a direct line to you or me, like if God Facebooked us personally, if God called us or texted us, how would we respond? I mean, if God made direct contact, if God was that forward and his message could not be missed, how would we respond? What if you really didn't want God's guidance? What if you didn't really want God's guidance, but he just kept hitting you up? What if God instant messaged you every day, but you didn't want to hear from him? It'd get kind of annoying, wouldn't it? It'd be like that friend that you want to defriend, but you don't want to hurt their feelings. Here's the real question that I want to ask today. Does God really communicate with ordinary people like you and me? And if he does, how does he do that? And what does it look like? How does it happen? In this 60-60 experiment, we're attempting to discover if the words and promises of God are experientially true. See, because a lot of us, we believe them. We say that we believe them. The question is, do we ever experience them as true? Jesus said in John chapter 15 that if we stay connected to him, that we would experience growth that will produce joy and peace and love and patience and kindness and self-control. And if we will stay intimately connected to God, that it produces fruit in our lives. By the way, if you weren't here last week, it's not too late to join us. All right, in the Soul Revolution, the 60-60 experiment. It's not too late to get a book. It's not too late to get in a group where you can discuss your experience. There's more books available in the coffee bar or down front here. They're only $7. I would encourage you to get one and start reading. By the way, there's about 95 books out right now. About 95 of you have taken books to walk through this 60-60 experiment with us. I think that's a wonderful thing. That's a great thing. It's fantastic. It's not too late to get started. And what we're doing for these 60 days is we're setting our watches or our phones or an alarm to ring every 60 minutes. And when the alarm sounds, we set our thoughts on God. We make a conscious effort to be connected to the God who created us and wants to be our friend. And what this does, what this alarm does, is it interrupts our natural habit of going through the day ignoring God. We've been trained our entire lives to go through our day and ignore God. We're using this to train us to realize that God is always with us, and he wants to be a part of our life, and he wants to be a part of our day. In fact, he wants to be a part of each moment. God wants to do life with us. God wants to be our leader, our helper, our guide, our counselor, our friend. And he will be all that if we will seek to stay connected to him. Listen, it's never too late to begin doing life with God. It's never too late to begin experiencing a relationship with God that is moment by moment and day by day where we actually hear from God. Now again, here's the real question, all right? If I get in this relationship with God, if I get connected to God, if I set the alarms and I set my thoughts on God and I do this whole connection thing, how do I know that what I'm hearing is from God? How do I know that it's God? I mean, if what I'm hearing is really from God, then why do so many people who hear from God get arrested? I mean, when we talk to God, we call it prayer, but when God talks to us, we call it schizophrenia. Well, maybe the problem is that we don't really understand the way that God speaks. Maybe the way God speaks in this broken world is a different kind of way And if we keep ourselves distracted and noisy and busy, maybe we never learn to hear. That's why we see this phrase throughout the Bible. From the beginning in Genesis to the end in Revelation, we see the phrase, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. What it means is that there's a spiritual kind of hearing and understanding that we must tune our spiritual ears to. I think that's what Moses was saying in Deuteronomy 13:4 when he said, serve only the Lord your God and fear him alone. Obey his commands, listen to his voice, and cling to him. If you could summarize the 60-60 experiment with one verse, that might be it. Listen to him and cling to him. See, God is the source of life that we're looking for, the source of life to cling to, but we have to learn to listen. The Bible says in Job 33, for God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. Did you ever stop to think that maybe God's speaking, but we just don't recognize it? He speaks in dreams and visions of the night when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. He whispers in their ears and terrifies them with warnings. God has been speaking. God is speaking. Now, he doesn't speak in all of these kinds of ways in this passage today, but he still speaks to us. God whispers in our spiritual ears, but we have to have ears to hear. We must listen and understand. See, God really does communicate to ordinary people like you and me, but we don't recognize it if we don't listen. Look at this in Jeremiah 6:10. To whom can I give warning? Who will listen when I speak? Their ears are closed and they cannot hear. They scorn the word of the Lord, and they don't want to listen at all. You know, the more I study the scriptures, the more I think I'm just like the people in the Old Testament. I'm just like the children of Israel. Are you describing me right there? See, to develop ears that will listen, we must develop hearts that are willing. If you don't get anything else today, get this. If you want to develop ears that will listen, you must develop a heart that is willing. Willingness to respond to God is the key to hearing from God. If you're reading Soul Revolution with us, you see John say it over and over again. He keeps hammering that willingness thing. You got to be willing. You have to be willing. You must be willing. Now check it out. Just like we talked last week, God wants to navigate, but he tells us to steer. God wants to speak to us, but we must be willing to listen. God wants us to hear and obey and live the full and vibrant life that Jesus promises, but it requires a willing heart. Remember, we talked about Jesus last night on earth and what he taught? Remember, you were going to read John chapters 13 through 17? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of how many of you read John 13 to 17. You should read it every week, probably every day for the next 60 days. John chapter 13 through 17. Jesus said it this way in John 14, verse 20. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. I will speak to each of them. I will reveal myself to each of them. You see, this shows that God reveals himself to us. God makes himself known to us. We can see the living God working in our lives, speaking to us when we choose to commit and trust. Now, some of you are like, see, there's always strings attached with God. He'll speak, but I have to commit and trust. Strings attached. Some of you don't like that proposition. Some of you are rejecting the 60-60 experiment because you're just not willing. You're not willing. You're certainly not going to commit and trust. Some of you don't like that proposition. All I can tell you is that I don't make the rules. But that's the way it is. If you want to hear from God, you have to be committed to God. And I can tell you that over the years, over the course of my life, the closer I walk with Christ, the more I am in tune with God, the more that I hear from Him. And many of you would say the same thing. You can go to times in your life where your relationship with Christ was extremely intimate and God spoke to you. You could go to times in your life. You knew it was God. You know now to this day that it was God speaking at that time. Here's the deal. God wants willing and loving children, not forced labor. So He waits for our desire and our willingness to seek Him. And God is humble and God is patient and He waits for our willingness. He doesn't force it. He waits for us. And He's not going to give in to our demands that He prove Himself. He will show Himself when we commit our lives to Him and when we trust our lives to Him. He will speak when we are willing. If you want to see, you have to trust. And you don't know until you go. You take the risk, you take a chance on God, and then you get the thrill of the ride. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever experienced something amazing in life that required you to take a risk? Have you experienced the exhilaration of taking a chance to enjoy something amazing? Perhaps it was a ski run or a skate trick or a bigger wave than you've ever surfed. Or maybe it was a tough conversation, a chance at forgiveness. Maybe it was just asking the popular girl out on a date. See, many of the best and most exciting things in life involve risk. And following Christ is the same. It's called faith. It's about taking a chance on God. It's about believing God and putting yourself out there. It's about being willing to hear from God. It's about being willing to hear God, even if you know that He might say something that you don't like or that He might get you out of your comfort zone. Now, here's the thing. God will always hold up His end. He will always be there. He is always faithful. He is always just. He is always love. See, we're asking you to take a chance on God for 60 days. And you will never know that you can trust Him until you trust Him. Don't miss the ride of your life. And listen, fear will hold us back. Fear of following Christ, fear of hearing from God, it holds us back. Fear has held you back from experiencing this amazing ride that God wants to take you on. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." He wants to bring strength to those who are willing, those who are committed to Him. And as we do this 60-60, we can focus on our fear. And if we focus on our fear, we will miss the ride. Don't focus on the fear of what people will think about you, because you will miss the ride. Don't focus on the fear of hurt, because you will miss the ride. Don't focus on the fear of what might or might not happen in the future, because if you do, you will miss the ride. Instead, focus on the God who loves you. Focus on the God who is for you. Focus on the God who wants to speak to you. And when God prompts you, listen. And when God prompts you, obey. And then you will begin to hear. And you will begin to listen with new ears. Now, let me be forthcoming about this. This is not an amusement ride. This is not a ski run. This is not surfing. This is a relationship. And relationships are difficult. God deals with each one of us personally and individually. And we can't always predict exactly what will happen. Sometimes we feel the exhilaration of God working in our lives. Sometimes it might be quite a while between times that we see and feel God working in our lives. That is life. That's my life. There are times in my life when God is working and moving and my life is changing, and we're seeing lives change here at Venice. And there are other times that seem to be dry. There are times when I wonder, what is God up to? And I want to ask, where are you, God? What are you doing, God? And here's what I found. Faithfulness, when it's not thrilling, is more important to the development of the relationship than faithfulness when following Christ is easy and exciting. Sometimes we don't get to see what God is doing behind the scenes. Sometimes we do. Faithfulness is what counts. When we remain faithful, we begin to see what God is doing. And God will really lead ordinary human beings like you and like me. He will really lead us. And you certainly don't have to be a pastor. God will meet with us in our everyday life if we're willing. God will really speak to us if we're willing. Now, let me give you a few warnings about this hearing from God thing, because it can be dangerous. And I'll be honest. When I hear somebody say, God told me this, and there doesn't seem to be any doubt or question in their mind, I'm pretty leery. I don't like that kind of language because I'm almost never sure on the front end. And when somebody says, God told me to tell you, I'm like, oh no, he didn't. This week, Wednesday, this gal called the office here at the church, and I answered the phone, and she said, hey, my name's so-and-so, I'm from such-and-such church, and she said, God told me that you would rent a room to me so that we could have a prayer meeting. I said, God didn't tell me that. Thank you, bye-bye. You know, here's a very important question. It's an important question because there's a lot of voices in the world. How do we know which one is from God? How do we know when we hear from God? Well, there's several ways that God speaks to us. The Bible tells us that there are some clear ways that God speaks to us. The most clear and unmistakable way is through the Scriptures themselves. The number one way that God speaks to us is through the Bible. Look at this in Matthew 5. Jesus said, don't misunderstand why I've come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. And I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law, that's the Bible, will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's law and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is claiming that God spoke through the prophets of old and through the law of Moses. And he says that God's been speaking all along. The Old Testament was written over a 1,500-year period by many different human authors, but it was all inspired by God. It was literally God-breathed. That's what inspired means. It is God speaking. All right, so listen, God has been revealing himself in very general ways in the Bible. And so if we get a very specific prompting that we believe is from God, then it must mesh, it must jive with what God has already said in the Scripture. You can know right off, if you think God's speaking to you, but you go, but that's not what the Bible says, you know it's not from God. If it in any way contradicts what God has said in Scripture, you better think twice. Because God will never contradict his word. He will never contradict himself. Now, this is really important because we can all be deceived, me included. And we tend to hear what we want to hear. We hear what is convenient to hear. And we tend to have self-centered hearing. I read a story about a guy who was taking out some life insurance, and so he had to go and get a physical, and he had some blood drawn, and he had the blood drawn, and then he went to pick up his daughter from school, and he had the little cotton ball with the little bandage there on his arm where they'd taken blood. And when his daughter got in the car, she said, "Daddy, what happened? Are you hurt?" And he said, "No, honey, I'm taking out an insurance policy, and so I had to have a blood test." And she said, "Well, what's an insurance policy?" And he said, "Well, an insurance policy is so that if something happens to me, if I die, you and your mom and your sister will get $300,000. And he immediately thought, "Wow, I just traumatized my daughter by saying, if I die." And then his daughter said, "But Daddy," and he said, "Yeah, honey, is that $300,000 apiece?" That's what I would have said. You see, from a very young age, we learn this more self-centered kind of hearing. That's why studying the scripture and identifying God's true character is such an important factor in our spiritual development. It is a huge factor in our ability to hear from God. We must know the scriptures to know God's will because we have a lot of voices in our heads. We have the voices of parents. We have the voices of popularity. We have the voices of our peers. We have the voices of the media. We have a lot of voices in our heads. There's a lot of voices in the world. There's a lot of gods, small g, gods in the world. There's a lot of God voices in the world. One person's God voice tells them to fly their plane into a building full of innocent people. I had a guy tell me one time that God told him that it was God's will for him to leave his wife of 15 years and his two small children because God is love and he wants him to be with the one that he loves. You got to follow your heart. There's a lot of voices out there. We must know the voice of the true and living God when we hear it. And we know the voice of God when we know his character. And we know his character because he's revealed himself in Scripture. See, God doesn't always just guide us specifically through the Scriptures. Another way that God guides us is through people. God will speak to us through other people. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 6:7, he says, "But God, who encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus." He says God is the one who is the encourager, and he sent this particular guy, Titus, to come and encourage me. God spoke to me through Titus. Paul lets us know that God spoke words of encouragement to him through his protege, Titus. God will use people to get his message to us. See, many of us, we became Christ followers because somebody spoke to us. They spoke the word of God to us. God sent his message of salvation through a friend or through a loved one. Now, occasionally, God may even speak through me. Scary, isn't it? I know this is true because there's times when one of you will come up to me and say, "It was like today you were talking just directly to me." In fact, I've had people insinuate that I've targeted them. Let's get something straight. First of all, I'm not that smart. And that's totally not me. And the truth is, I don't even know enough about most of you to do that. So if you ever feel like I'm talking directly to you, that's God. That's not me. Trust me. If I ever say anything that touches you, it's God. Maybe by chance, every once in a while, God will use me to speak to you. And you know what? God uses you to speak to me. The most benefit that I received in Soul Revolution this week was hearing the men in my group tell me what God was doing in their lives. I was convicted and encouraged, excited. God spoke to me through the men in my group on Wednesday night. Some of you have people in your life that you lean on for wisdom and guidance, and you lean on for encouragement, and they're godly people. And God gets His message to you through them. Now, here's the point. As you're hearing from God, if you're hearing from God, check what you're hearing with the Scripture, and then check it with godly men and women, people that God has placed in your life that have walked with Christ, that you know walk with Christ. Maybe they've walked with Christ longer than you. Listen to people that you know are familiar with the Scripture. Now, there's one other way that I want to talk about, and that's this. God will guide us. God will speak through us through a quiet voice. In the Scripture, there's an account of a guy named Elijah, and he was a great prophet. And because, you know, he brought a lot of truth from God, people didn't really like him too much. And his life got threatened, and so he went and he hid in a cave, and in that cave, he cried out to God. God, what is going on? What are you doing? And God does something with Elijah that I think he wants all of us to learn from. It's found in 1 Kings 19. It says, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by. And a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. And it was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. You see, these are the ways that we want God to show up. We want there to be an earthquake or a wind to knock us down or something to catch on fire. We want it to be undeniable. But after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And God spoke to him in a gentle whisper. And what I found over the years is that God prefers to communicate in this quiet whisper. It's not a thunderstorm or an earthquake. It's a quiet whisper into the quiet mind and heart of a Christ follower who's waiting and who's willing to hear. And by the way, God doesn't need a literal voice. He does not need sound waves. I have to use my voice. I have to use sound waves to get my thoughts into your head. God doesn't need that. God can speak right to our hearts, right to our minds. And that's what He tends to do. And just like you can hear my voice right now, and you can tune it out, we can hear the voice and promptings of God, and we can tune them out because we're distracted or noisy or have so many voices, or just that we're unwilling. And here's the thing. We have selective spiritual hearing. We want to hear God in this area and in this area, but not that area. And when we plug our ears in one area, then we don't hear in any of the areas. And listen, it doesn't matter how long, how many years you've been plugging your ears. If you will just take your fingers out of your ears and make your heart willing, you will hear from God. If you will just say, "God, no matter what area, every area, I'm willing," you begin to hear again. And the key is willingness. Willingness when you hear the prompting. Would you pray with me? God, we know that You never change. We know that You love us, care for us, and that You want to know us. And we know that You want to speak to us. And we know that You have spoken in Scripture. And we know that you will use godly people in our lives to guide us in your paths. And we know that, God, by your Spirit, you will whisper to us in the quiet of our minds and our hearts, but only if we're willing. And so we want to be willing to hear from you. So speak, Lord. And now would you pray? Just say, God, I want to hear from you. God, I long to hear your voice. God, I will be diligent to study your word so that I may know your character. And God, I long for the wisdom and encouragement of men and women that love you and walk with you. And God, I will quiet my heart and I will quiet my mind so that I can hear from you. I'm willing, Lord, so speak. Speak to me and guide me. In Jesus' name, amen.